Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Awesome. Fantastic. Hey, can we just stand to our feet for 1 second? The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of praise. Can we do that? Can we just shout unto God because He's worthy to be praised? Like Pastor Phil said, He's the one that deserves all the glory. Come on, God, we worship You here this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus in this house. God, You are glorious. You are magnificent. And Father, we say, come right now by Your Holy Spirit. Lord God, fill this house with Your presence. Lord, do what we could never do. God, bring transformation and change to lives here this morning. Father, we love You. Lord God, we glorify You. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you guys just give somebody a high five, give somebody a hug, tell them they look good, they smell good. We're going to have some fun this morning. This guy's going to preach good. If you don't believe it, say it by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, this is awesome. I'm being told from the front row not to stuff it up, so I'm just going to do my best. I just want to thank your pastors, Pastors Phil and Nat, and their beautiful girls, Ruby and April. You guys are sensational, and as you said, we've become friends, and I kind of feel like family. I'm from a big family. I'm one of seven kids. I kind of feel like family with these guys. Like, I got three brothers, and I feel like a brother to Phil. It's like time passes and things happen, but you just pick up, and there's commonality there. And with Nat, I feel like, you know, I'm the brother she never wanted. Which is kind of like my other sisters as well. So I just feel like family, and like I just fit in hand in glove. Hey, it's so good to be here. We've spent some time with the leaders over the last few days, which was cool. But I just want to let you know that I believe in miracles. I believe in the power of God. And as Pastor Phil said, I believe in the grace and the goodness of God. That He's a merciful God, that isn't just all powerful, but He's gracious and merciful, and He wants to allow that power to flow towards our lives and cause, you know, transformation that changes everything. I mentioned it the other day that I don't believe God just sent His Son to impress us. I got this really cool party trick, you know, like what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my Son to earth and He's going to die, but then He's going to rise again. It's awesome. God didn't do that, and He didn't even just send His Son to impact us, because I'm impacted by so many things. I'm impacted by what happens in society. I'm impacted by my football team winning or my soccer team winning or whatever. God sent His Son to transform us. And the Word tells us that if we're in Christ, so if we weren't in Christ but then we came into Christ, then we're a brand new creation. We're changed, we're transformed, we're made anew, we're born again. We're going to have the opportunity, you know, to enter into that a little later on. But I want to preach a little, and then I just want you to get ready. You know, our God, and I'm going to mention this, is a responsive God. He responds, but not to need, He responds to faith. And if we give God faith, God gives us power. If we come to Him going, I may not understand, but I do believe, then He allows His power to flow. You know, faith is the conduit or the channel that the power of God flows through and flows towards our lives. So can I just ask you in the next whatever 20, 30 minutes that we've got together, just to open yourself up today to the possibility of a God encounter. Amen? Can I show a real quick photo of my family, and then for time's sake, we'll get straight into it. I think we've got it here. Oh, yep, I sent through a bad photo, so very pixelated. Anyway, Noah, my 14-year-old surfing champion, absolute legend. Ella, my princess, she's a little ballerina, swimming champion. She's 12. Zachary is the man child. He came out with little paws. He's like this. He's like, came out 10 pound. The others were like 7 pound. He's 10 pound with a 35 centimeter circumference head. He's just a big unit. We said we're not having any more kids after Zach. And this is my beautiful wife, Melissa, that's looks better than that normally. We've been married for 20 years in 3 weeks, and come on, praise God. And she's absolutely phenomenal. So she's at home preaching this morning, running our church. And as Pastor Phil said, 3 years ago, we felt the call of God to step out of a large, well-known church and to go and start a church. And by God's grace, He's blessing us, and we're building a really cool community in Noosa. Something similar to this. So we feel blessed and we feel like God is smiling on us. So who's ready for the word this morning? Come on. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 4:20, and it says, the kingdom of God is not in word and deed only, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word and deed. It's not just about coming to church and we hear the word and we talk about the word and we hear stories. There's power attached to our connection to Christ. The kingdom that we've entered into when we ask Christ to come into is a kingdom of power. And there's power available for each of our lives here today. I get to travel all over the world. I was just in Portland and I saw miracles. You know, even yesterday, the day before, we prayed for Paul and pain left his body instantly. Like that's the God we serve. A God that moves on his people and moves amongst his people. And, you know, I love what it says in Ephesians 1:19. It says, the same power that God worked in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead is at work in us. That's that very same power that God worked in a dead body to raise it back to life is at work in you and I today. God is working for you. God is working in you. You may be walking through stuff, but if you will lean on God and lean into God, he's working on your behalf, which for me is good news. The gospel is good news unto those who believe. This is good news because I don't know if you need a touch from God here today. I don't know if you need a miracle in your life. I need God's touch upon my life every day, afresh and anew, to bring change and to bring life and to revitalize me. Because when we walk through life, stuff happens. It's the beginning of a brand new year. We've set resolutions. We're keen for the year ahead. We're fired up. We're ready to go. But who knows, by December of this year, some stuff will have happened. I will have walked through some challenging times. I will have seen some things happen that kind of knock the passion out of me, knock the life out. God wants us to come back and reconnect daily, multiple times, so that he can refill us, that we get back what we've lost. So we've got the vision to carry us through the year ahead so that we can live according to his plans and purposes for our lives. Amen? Yeah. All right, if you've got your Bibles with you, why don't you turn with me to Mark 10 this morning? Then I'm going to pray for some things. Before I go to a meeting, I just pray. I just seek God and pray. And I already feel like he's told me of things that he's going to heal today. And I don't know you, so I want to speak confidence in you today that if I call something out that you have, you need to know that God spoke to me about it on your behalf. That even though I don't know you or where you're from or what you're facing, God does. God knows where you are in life. He knows what you need and when you need it, and his timing is perfect. So if we know that we serve a good and loving God whose timing is perfect, we can have the confidence to boldly step into his invitation to come and get set free. Amen? Fantastic. Mark 10. It's starting in verse 46. It says this. It says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road, and when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Everybody say, he only shouted louder. The crowd told him to be quiet, but he only shouted louder. I like that. That's important. So, Son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, I love this because Bartimaeus was blind and he heard that Jesus was coming. He heard that Jesus was about to pass him by, so he yelled out. He heard something, so he reacted. He responded and he opened his mouth. And then it said, and then Jesus heard him. So he heard of Jesus. Then he yelled out, and then Jesus heard him. That's important. Tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said, I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. I love this story. The title of my message today is, what do you want? At the beginning of a brand new year, clean slate, new opportunity, what do you want? What do you want this year to look like? What areas of your life do you want to get breakthrough in? What do you want to see transformed and changed in your life? I believe the question that Jesus may just be posing to each of us today is, what do you want? And it doesn't matter what somebody else wants. What do you want? What are you willing to go after this year? What do you want to see happen and take place in your life? And like I said, I love this story because we see a man defined by his condition, locked into a certain way of life because of it. Have you ever felt that way? I'm labeled this. I suffer from this. I'm addicted to this. Therefore, I have to do life this way. My Bible tells me that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to set the captives free. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. John 10 tells me that the devil comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. The devil has purpose for our lives, but so does Jesus. There is a purpose for your life that goes beyond your condition, that can take you beyond what you're suffering with. And I believe people are going to be set free here today. You know, every day Bartimaeus did the same thing. He sat, he begged, and he listened. He sat, he begged, and he listened. And each day as he sat, begged, and listened, he heard certain things. He heard the shuffling of feet, the clanging of coins where people were extending generosity, conversations, arguments in the marketplace. But this day was different to every other day. Because he was sat there daily. He was a beggar. He was blind. That was his lot in life. That was what his condition dictated he would do in life. But this was a different day. Because not only had he heard the shuffling of feet and the clanging of coins and the arguments in the marketplace, he'd heard stories about a man named Jesus. A man named Jesus who was a miracle worker. A man named Jesus who some called a Messiah. A man named Jesus who could bring change to his world. And then he heard he was passing him by. This day was different. I believe today could be different in your life. You may have heard before. You may have been prayed for before. You may have attended church before. But I believe today can be different. Today can be that day. Today can be a different day. Now, Jacob said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This isn't a school gymnasium or a hall or a theaterette. This is the house of God. A place where heaven meets earth and earth meets heaven. Where lives are transformed because of our God. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I believe that's the question being posed of each of us this morning. Do you want 2017 to look the same as 2016? Do you want to carry the weights and the pressures and the burdens that you've carried to date throughout the course of this year? Because the Bible says, come to me, all of you. All of you includes all of us. In the Greek, apparently, all of you means all of you. I'm a Greek scholar. Muyadi, don't quote me. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. You see, God's not standing off in the back blocks of eternity. Shivers, I hope they make it. What did we do with that one? How did that happen? How did they get there? I didn't think they'd be facing that. He's not like that. The Bible says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He will come close. You know, it says, if you want friends, be friendly. But there is a friend that stays closer than a brother. Jesus draws near those that are open and receptive and willing. And like I said, I need a touch from God. So I'm going to do whatever I can to position myself in that place where God is. For time's sake, I'm going to kind of get rid of all of this. I'm going to pray for people. Is that all right? Can today be a little different and Pastor Phil will fix everything up next week? He'll bring theology and doctrine and teaching and it'll be awesome and he'll flex. Seriously, I was nervous getting out. I felt like I just got to... Jesus, move that way. Church should be fun. God is fun. I love you, Pastor Phil. You know, we need faith to come to Jesus. It took faith for a beggar to throw off his beggar's cloak. That was his point of identification. people knew him as the beggar, and he was allowed to beg because of his cloak. But he goes, you know what? I don't want to beg anymore. And what I love is Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? He had an evident and present need in his life. He was blind. You're the miracle worker. What do you mean, what do I want? You can see what I need. I have no sight. I'm blind. I'm a beggar. What are you talking about? But what I love about our God is he's not so much interested in what you need. He's interested in what you want. We all have evident needs in our lives. But what do you want? Do you want a temporal fix or do you want an eternal transformation? Because sometimes the compassion, sometimes the generosity, sometimes the attention isn't that bad. And it'll carry me through what I'm facing today. But our God wants to transform us. I've seen people come back to life from death. I've prayed for people with blind eyes and they've opened on the spot. I was just in the Philippines and I prayed for a lady who was paralyzed down the whole side of her body. Left side didn't work. She had to get carried into the meeting. She couldn't speak. God touched her in an instant, set her free. She was talking, praising God, lifting her hand, walking around. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs. And I give all the glory to God. He's the miracle worker. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He spoke and created the heavens and the earth. He spoke your life into existence. The Bible tells us that all things are created by him and for him. You were created for his enjoyment. He wants you to live an abundant, blessed, filled, prosperous life. That's his will for your life. But I want to encourage us here today to allow ourselves to not only just hear about Jesus, but to respond to what we hear. You know, Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, to him be the glory. And I'm convinced that the power of God active in our lives is proportional to his praise on our lips. When despite my circumstance, despite my storm, despite the challenges I face, when I rise above and I praise him anyway. You know, I'm saying before, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. Half of you are probably like, man, shut up. You don't know the week I had. You don't know what I'm walking through. You don't know what I'm facing. Can I encourage you, like Pastor Phil said, that's the exact moment to go, you know what? I'm rising above. I'm steeling myself. I'm getting some mongrel on the inside, and I'm going to fight back against life, against circumstance, against labels, against any other thing, and I'm going to get my victory. And the Bible tells us in Corinthians, it says, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory. Can I encourage you, you live in victory today because of Jesus Christ. Your circumstances may just need to line up with the victory that you've entered into, but you live in victory. Amen? God is good. God is so good. We're going to work through where to go here. Two stories, then we're going to pray. Is that all right? There's a story of a leper in Luke 5. A leper was a social outcast, somebody that had to stay outside the city limits. A man that wasn't allowed to go in and visit with his family or see his kids or enter into business transactions. He wasn't allowed to do life. In other words, there was a man, because of his condition, that was existing but not living. A man that just had to live out his days with the lot that he'd been served. And Jesus just happened to be walking by. And again, he did something that he wasn't allowed to do. You know, sometimes in our faith, we have to do what others say we can't do. The crowd said, shut up, be quiet. You're embarrassing us. You're a beggar. Sit there and be quiet. But he jumped up and shouted all the louder. A leper approached Jesus, but he shouldn't have. He says, if you're willing, you can make me whole. You can make me clean. And Jesus' response was, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing. If the question is, what do you want? And you're willing to say what you want, the answer from Jesus is, I'm willing. I need marriage restoration. I need health in my body. I need financial provision. I need peace in my spirit. I'm willing. I can do that. If I can bring
death back to life, if I can speak into existence that which was not as though it is, and I can create the heavens and the earth, I can do that. I think we get good in the church at giving, but not so much at receiving. But the principle of sowing and reaping is, if you sow, you will reap. So if you sow faith in God, you will reap God results in your life. You will see return to you, shaped up and multiplied, the answers to your desire if you give it to God. There's another story of a woman with an issue of blood, basically representing life flowing from her, not to her. A woman of means, a woman of stature, somebody that the Bible says spent every single thing she had. Resources, emotions, everything she had. And the Bible says that not only did she not grow better, she grew worse. I don't know, I've found myself in situations like that in life where I felt like despite my efforts, I was growing worse, not better. And I was doing everything I knew to do. And I was given everything I had of myself to give. But life was flowing from me and not to me. But God, Jesus passed by. I feel like, and I'm not trying to say this in a cliched manner or to create hype, I feel like Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here, present today, ready to meet with, what do you need? And beyond that, what do you want? God is interested in your life, in every minute detail of your world. He didn't put you on this planet to punish you, so that you could endure life. He came that you may have life and life more abundantly. And I love that. I need that. That helps me. I've been a pastor for a very long time. I need to hear that. I need to hear that God is for me and not against me. I need to hear that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I need to hear that I'm called to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I need to hear that if I do life in accordance with God's will and God's ways, that heaven will open over my world, that he'll smile on me and things will work. I need that. We need that. And that's what we get in the community of the church. But this woman, she got desperate. She did something that she shouldn't have done. She got on her hands and her knees. She crawled through a crowd just to touch Jesus. And I kind of went like, as I said, I've been doing this a while. You've been doing this a while. I ask myself, Christian, you've got needs in your world. How desperate are you for a touch from God? A fresh touch from God. Because I know religion. I know when to sit, when to stand, when to praise, when to raise my... But how desperate am I for an encounter with God? A fresh touch with a good and loving God. How desperate have I just got used to? He's there. He's always there. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Or am I desperate today? Am I desperate? There was three people in the Bible that were so desperate to get out of their situation that they would do anything to get Jesus' attention. What can you do today to show Jesus, you know what, I am desperate. I need you. I'm reliant on you. God, I want you to be number one in my world. I want you to lead my life. I want what the word says. You know, the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. There's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of promises for your life in the word of God. But they'll take Noah. If you don't take a hold of them by faith, nothing will happen. But today we can do something to show God we're desperate. Amen. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? Thank you, Jesus. You know, James 4:2 says, you have not because you ask not. What are you asking for today? What are you desperate for today? What do you want God to do in your life? What I see in this is these guys had issues. We all have issues. Pastor Phil and Nat have issues. Nat has less than I do, but we all have issues. Issues are okay. But what are you going to do with your issues? You're going to sit down and keep begging? You're going to stay outside the camp walls? You're just going to accept that life's flowing from me, not coming to me? Or are you going to do something to get Jesus' attention? Are you going to do something to reach out? All it took was a touch. She didn't even touch Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. Where you stand, right where you are, you can touch Jesus this morning. as if we just close our eyes, look away to God, open it. And I don't believe you came here by accident this morning, even those that are visiting. I believe this is a God-ordained moment where something can happen in your world that changes everything. What would have happened if Bartimaeus just stayed sitting there? Would Jesus have passed by again? Maybe. But there are moments in God that change everything. I believe we can have a moment here right now. Why don't we just sing that through? Our God is greater one more time, and then we're going to pray. Is that all right?
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than.
Somebody here with diabetes, and he wants to heal you this morning. And there's also somebody else with like inflammation of the lungs or infection of the lungs and respiratory issues that you have. Would you just come forward this morning? And this is a safe place. This is an awesome church. Let me tell you one more story, and I'm going to pray for these guys. I was preaching on the Gold Coast, and a gentleman came forward, and they brought him out in a wheelchair, he had like elephantitis, his gangrene of his foot. Elephantitis, his foot was like four times bigger than it should have been, swollen, black, green, it was gnarly. And I said, what's happening? He says, they're cutting my leg off this week. I said, what do you mean? He said, they're cutting my leg off this week. I said, let's go for a miracle. He said, yeah. I said, no, all things are possible to those who believe. I said, let's pray. So we prayed. I said, now stand up. He goes, I can't stand up. I said, dude, they're going to cut your leg off this week. Let's go to this place of faith where God can do what God does. So he got up, and as he stood up, he put his foot down and screamed in agony. And it wasn't that I wasn't compassionate to it. I thought, you know what, if they're going to cut your leg off, momentary pain to get the God result may be worth it. I said, let's go, and we're just praying. Because the Bible says, if I lay my hands upon the sick, they'll recover. And he started, well, he's screaming every single time he put his foot down. Every single time he put his foot down, screaming. And then he started to slow up on the screaming. And then he stopped screaming. And they said, wow, the pain's gone. And then before our eyes, we start to see the swelling go down. He never had his leg cut off. God healed him. Can we open ourselves up to that today? I'm going to pray for this and a few other things, and then hand back to Pastor Phil. But would you just, where you're at, close your eyes, lift your hands and say, God, I need you. God, I need your touch in my life. God, whatever it is that you need, bring to God today what you want and let him touch your life. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.